The people at the bookstore have asked me to do a little promo on my own books, so we'll get rid of the commercial messages here first. These are the two books of mine that the bookstore has in stock over there. This one, Your Family in Focus, is basically a book for family people to boost their self-esteem a little bit. You know, parents and other family people tend to feel often like, oh, geez, you know, our family is kind of, you know, it could be better. And we tend to see that, you know, that the glass is half empty instead of half full when we look at our own families. And the purpose of this book is to help family people feel better about their own families and see what's right about their families instead of what's wrong. Your Family in Focus.
And who's the publisher?
Publisher is Ave Maria Press, Notre Dame, Indiana.
Yeah.
But it's in the bookstore, and the bookstore people here want you to buy their copies. So don't go home and get it. Buy it now. Anyway, that's what this is all about. This is an interesting publishing. Your Family in Focus?
No, the title of this.
Oh, this is Writing for Publication, and today we're talking about, is this Where You Belong or not?
I was looking at the anagram.
Oh, he's in the next room over.
Oh, that's a new one. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
And the other, this is my newest book, Everybody Has a Guardian Angel and Other Lasting Lessons I Learned in Catholic Schools. And it's really not about Catholic schools, but it's about each chapter, it's very autobiographical and kind of memoirs. And if you read this book, you're going to know far more about me than you ever wanted to know. But I took a basic religious idea that I learned as a kid in each chapter and tried to discuss how my understanding of that basic idea changed and developed and evolved over the years up to the moment of my present ripe maturity. And anyway, it's gotten a lot of good reviews, and I'm sure you'd enjoy it.
Is that also Ave Maria?
This is Crossroad Publishing Company of New York. New York.
Right.
Anyway, these will be here if you want to look at them as well. You probably can't go on living unless you have these.
Okay.
All right, today. Pardon me?
When did you start?
Well, I talked about this yesterday, and you weren't here.
That's fine. That's fine.
I would suggest you get the tape for yesterday's talk.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I wouldn't say that, but I timed it.
No, that's
fine.
That's
great. Okay. Today we're going to focus on identifying a topic to write about. Okay? You're going to try to narrow down a focus to an article that you can actually, that is publishable, will be attractive to a publisher. Okay? So I'm going to put you to work a little bit here today. And the first thing we'll do is try to come up with some basic categories that we can use in order to come up with our idea of what to write about. Okay? Some of the basic categories are, I could write an article about myself. Or an opinion that I have. Okay, with that as a kind of a spark, what else do you think? What are some of the other general broad categories that we can use?
Travel.
I can write about someplace I have been. I just got back about 3 weeks ago from Jamaica. This is one of the side benefits, one of the perks. sometimes there are organizations that will give you a free trip someplace in order to... they assume, and it's a good assumption, that if they send a bunch of writers somewhere, when they get back, they're going to write about where they've been. And this happens a lot. It's like charitable organizations, you know, that do. And in this case, this is an organization that does charitable work in the Caribbean. So they sent a bunch of writers, including myself, to Jamaica, and showed us the kind of work that they're doing down there. And matter of fact, these shoes are an indirect result of going to Jamaica. Because these are very brightly colored shoes, I'm sure you noticed. But originally we were going to go to Haiti, but then things got interesting politically in Haiti, and they decided, no, I think we'll go to Jamaica instead. And but when we were going to Haiti, they wrote and said, buy a pair of shoes that you can leave behind. You know, because where you're going to be walking, you don't want to bring it home. So I went down to a shoe store that was going out of business, And these were on the shelf for 60% off, so I got them for $3. And anyway, that's one of the other things that can happen from being a writer. You can buy cheap shoes. All right. What are some of the other possible writing categories?
Personal experience.
Okay, that would come up under here, I think.
Family. I was thinking memoirs type stuff. Like
okay, well, sure. Let's put that down there.
Fatherhood.
Okay, let's just put personal experience. We're trying to keep this really broad.
Nature or something, animals, nature, plants.
Nature. Magazines like...
How's that fit in with yourself?
Like the Sierra Club, they have a magazine.
Family.
Or outdoors magazines, okay. That might come under personal experience if we're trying to keep this real broad. Okay.
How to make something.
Okay, a how-to article. There's a big market out there for how-to articles, magazines. How to keep your 64 Volkswagen Bug going. You know, there are whole magazines about Volkswagen Beetles. And they run articles about, you know, about these things. There's a cult thing going now around Volkswagens. Okay? What else?
I've heard that anniversaries, like 50th and 100th anniversaries of events or...
Okay. That's a good one in the sense that it can be a good hook in a verse.
History type stuff.
Okay, history, historical.
The Oregon Trail.
Okay. Yeah, the Oregon Trail. What is this? This is an anniversary this year.
150.
Okay. And I've noticed a lot of articles in newspapers about the Oregon Trail. Somebody wrote those. Yeah. Every time you pick up a magazine or a newspaper, any form of print media, somebody had to write that stuff, and why shouldn't it be you? Why not?
Okay. Health and fitness, there's a lot of that kind of stuff too.
Health is big today, health and fitness. Okay, I'm going to put another one up here, other people. And these can be very ordinary people. I talked yesterday about the article I wrote. I wrote an article about my grandfather. Who cares about my grandfather, you know? But I can make it interesting to other people so they care when they read it. Okay? Think of any others?
Well, I suppose there's a whole market in sort of spirituality, but maybe that comes under personal experience.
Well, it could, but let's just put religious down here because it's a whole... It's a market into itself.
Sports and
sports. Sports,
figures.
Yeah. Sports figures. And again, some of these... In sports, you can write an article about a sports figure, but it doesn't necessarily have to be marketed to a sports magazine. You know, I used the example yesterday of a well-known figure who turns out to be a Catholic, you know, or you find someone who happens to be a Lutheran, or whatever. You can sell that to a Lutheran magazine, who they're not as interested in sports, really, but because this person is well-known and Lutheran, why? Fits right in. Okay, what else?
Tragedy type things.
Okay.
Be it nature or the latest thing, the Jessica, the ripping her from her adopted home.
Okay.
That's other people, but I'm just thinking the whole realm of making money off of somebody else's tragedy.
Yeah. I think I might say that ordinarily publications would not be interested in knowing about it as long as it's a tragedy. You know?
Coping.
They don't want to depress their readers.
They want to know the floods, the earthquakes. There's lots of stories that come out of those things.
Right, but what editors are going to want are the whole story. In a way, the Jessica story isn't over yet.
Oh no.
Okay, it's going to be over maybe
when
10 years from now. 10 years from now, when she somehow overcomes this experience and turns out to be a perfectly well balanced, normal human being, maybe.
Maybe.
You know, if she does, then that would be a good story. If she doesn't, then it would still be a story because it's got an end to it that would be an object lesson kind of piece.
Like the San Francisco earthquake, the people that got their legs cut off and they survived and
went on to... Yeah, they went on to transcend this experience and show it's an example of human courage and so forth. Reader's Digest runs that stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. There's another magazine you probably all heard of called Guideposts. Mm-hmm. You know, inspirational stuff, stories of courage, human... Mm-hmm. Human courage in the face of great obstacles and so forth. You know, there's a style of writing called as told to. You know, you come across somebody and they tell you about this thing that happened to them or somebody in their family, and how they overcome, you know, against tremendous odds. But they're not writers. So you go in there and say, tell me about it. And you turn on your tape recorder and you listen, you know. And Guideposts publishes as told to all the time. If you look, you'll see that they do that a lot. Yes?
Finance would be another category. Okay. You see articles about finance all the time, and they seem like they all cover about the same thing. You think these people must read each other's articles and just flip them over and shuffle them up a little bit.
They're really looking for something new, so maybe that's your job. Okay?
Professional journals, research, that kind of thing.
Okay, now we're getting into specific markets, but can you think of a specific kind of article they would be interested in?
It would be whatever individual profession.
Okay, why don't we just say professional topics? Because that's going to include medicine.
Yeah.
Engineers.
You know, lawyers. Engineers, yeah. They all have their magazines. Most of the magazines published in this country never show up on supermarket shelves, in spite of how many you see there.
Mm. Lots of stuff about hobbies, too.
Hobbies?
Spend leisure time.
All right, let's take one of these. Let's take, just because I have examples in my head already, let's take the category of other people. Okay? You're going to do, for example, let's say a profile of a well-known person. Anybody ever heard of the children's author and illustrator Tommy DiPaola? Okay, you would know about him. Tommy DiPaola, turns out, is a Catholic. I'm using my own personal examples, but you know, you can think of others, I'm sure. So I called him up, and I wrote an article about him based on a telephone conversation that I had with the guy. You know, very nice man, very happy to talk to me, no problem. You know, just have to get at these people. Part of the skill of doing celebrity-type profiles is knowing a couple of simple things. Namely, you can invariably get at these people through their publishers. All you need to do is locate a phone number for whoever it is that publishes this person's book, for example, and say, I'm so-and-so, and I've got an assignment from thus and such magazine, or I'd like to write for this magazine, and so could you put me in touch with this person? Sometimes they'll say, well, here's the agent's number, and call the agent first. Otherwise, they might say, well, I'll call them and see if they're interested and call you back. And 99 times out of 100, they're more than happy to cooperate. This is good publicity for them. You know, helps them to sell their books or whatever they're into. Okay, so here we are, and we've identified a celebrity person, anybody you want to think of, okay? That's fine. We've decided to write an article about this person, but we've only got, say, 3,000 words maximum that we can spend on this article, sometimes less, often less. 3,000 is getting pretty long for magazine articles these days, maybe 1,500 words. So what are we going to do? We have to narrow that down a little bit. Say we're going to write about, I don't know, somebody think of a figure, a celebrity person that you can think of.
The president.
Okay, you're going to write an article about President Clinton. Well, that's fine, but there's a lot of things you can write about President Clinton. What are you going to write about? How are we going to narrow that down? Think of a specific angle.
His first vacation.
Okay, the president's first vacation after the death, the suicide death of his longtime friend. I think he was quoted recently as saying, I'm going to start taking vacations, and he wants his staff people to do so as well. You know, okay, his first vacation. How are we going to get, okay, you managed, now this is not an easy person to get an interview with. There are exceptions. Okay. What about his first vacation? Are we just going to describe what he did, or what? We've got the interview, say. We've got 30 minutes with Clinton, and we're going to do an interview after the vacation is over, let's say. Or maybe we've been really lucky, and they said that we could come along and watch, you know, during the vacation, and do the interview at the end of the vacation. So what are we going to do with that? Anybody? How are we going to handle this as a profile piece?
Compare it to his life when he's not on vacation, the schedule.
Okay. A contrast kind of thing. Here's how busy he usually is, and here's how he spends his time when he was on vacation.
Or what he does to relax. What are his favorite ways of relaxing?
Okay.
Just as an idea.
Okay. To be fresh.
All right. What kinds of questions are you going to ask him in the interview.
How do you see your transition from coming off Air Force One to where you're going?
Okay, to on his vacation here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. What other kinds of questions would you ask?
How's it different from other vacations?
Okay. All right, that's a good one. What else?
What do you and Hillary do in the evening? I mean, early evening, you know.
Hey, you never know.
But that's the way, the reason I say that, that's always a problem for me on vacation. You've been out hiking or something, and you've got this long evening. Do you play cards? Do you play Trivial Pursuit, or do you read books? I don't know.
Okay.
Just a thought.
Sure. Yeah. Maybe questions like, how has the death of, I forget the guy's name.
Foster.
How has this changed your attitude towards how you spend your time when you're on vacation? What, maybe you're writing this for a particular, a religious market magazine, and you can ask him, you know, how does your faith come up in the context of leisure time like this? You know, there's just any number of directions you can go with this kind of thing. Okay, we've got it narrowed down. Okay, see the process we went through there? Now then, what I want to ask you to do, you can do this in your head, or if you've got a pen and or pencil and paper with you, you can do it on paper, and I'm going to give you about 5 minutes, because we don't have a lot of time. Think up your own article idea right now, okay? And think in terms of a real idea that it might really be possible for you to write a magazine article about, okay? So you have to have a specific magazine in mind, all right? Most of us are familiar with a particular magazine or a particular newspaper that we see on a regular basis or whatever, and we know the kind of stuff we see in that publication. So how are we going to shape this article idea to go together with the publication that we're going to try to pitch this idea to in our query letter? Okay, so go ahead and do that. I'll give you about 5 minutes. Everybody needs to come up with one, because I'm going to have everybody share your idea with everybody else. Okay, why don't we start over here, and I just ask you to share briefly with the rest of us the idea you came up with and the specific focus you're going to give to it, and if you could think of a publication to send to specifically, why, tell us a little bit about that too.
The specific publication would be, there's a national magazine put out by the American Diabetes Association. It's called Diabetes Forecast, and it's for professional one-way people with diabetes. And my article idea would be on the changes that a parent goes through as a child who's diagnosed with diabetes young, as they change their needs change, like from age, I don't think in my own situation, age 3 to age 9, and how sometimes it's difficult to know what you need to change as your child is changing, and I guess learning to live with variables and adjusting, but there's not really a focus today.
Okay. Well, no, there is. Would this be primarily a first-person, personal experience type of piece?
They have a one in their back page of their magazine. They have a one-page thing called it's a personal reflection.
Okay.
Thing.
Okay.
And it could be that, but I did one for that. It's like a short 750 word thing.
Okay.
So I kind of like to, and they don't pay me. They pay for their little bit longer articles.
Yeah. Well, that's great. If you wanted to make a little bit longer article, you could call up a few experts. It could be your local doctor, you know, whoever, and get a few quotes from them to kind of give a little more substance to each of the points you make.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you're going to make, your first point is, you know, what it's like when a child is first diagnosed, okay? And you say, this is what it was like for me, blah, blah, blah. And then you call up this doctor and say, or other medical expert, and say, what do you advise parents, how do you advise parents at this particular point in their experience here? And you get a nice little quote from that person, and you sip it in there, and then you move on to your next point. And keep going. And it makes it a much more... and then in your query letter, you tell the editor, this is what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to call up these experts and get them to say something about it, as well as describing my own experience. And they're going to be a lot more receptive to it, probably. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good idea. Yeah, great. Yes. What did you come up with?
I got in the mail the other day a letter from what I thought was a relatively good brokerage firm wanting to know if I was interested in some Snohomish bonds. There was absolutely nothing in there to give me any guidance about whether I would make a decision about whether I was interested, because I'm not interested anyhow because I don't have any money. But it occurred to me that, first of all, maybe I should write something to an investment magazine. But those guys, anybody on the staff could write this thing. Uh-huh. So then I thought, well, maybe a local newspaper, who doesn't have a full-time investment division or something like that.
Okay.
And what do you want to know when somebody says, are you interested in these bonds? Well, first of all, is it a general obligation bond? Is it backed by the full faith and credit of the issuing body? Uh-huh. Or is it a revenue bond to pay for a water system? Or a highway, or a bridge, mm-hmm. or buildings, or something of that sort.
Yeah.
And in order to know whether it's good or not, if it's a revenue bond, well, what do you estimate the coverage to be of your annual fixed charges? Low, high, average? Mm-hmm. If it's a general obligation bond, well, what are the tax rates now? Do you have the ability to raise them if you have to? Mm-hmm. Things, people are sophisticated. They want to be able to analyze a bond just like they would analyze a stock. Mm-hmm. Of course, the parameters are different, things of that sort. But,
now, would you be speaking out of your own experience with this kind of stuff?
Hmm?
Would you be speaking out of your own experience about this topic? Or how would you be approaching it?
Well, I think I would just comment on the fact that I had received a letter asking if I was interested in such and such a bond, uh-huh. with absolutely no information in there.
Okay.
Now this is sort of critical.
Okay.
Now this raises a question. Are critical items, is it good to be critical in print?
Yeah, depending on where you're going to send it.
You might create resentment more than
interest. Not necessarily. If this is an op-ed piece, for example, okay, you're stating your opinion, you're going to send it to a newspaper, a local newspaper perhaps, and you might get a very interesting response from somebody who's involved in this professionally, saying, geez, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
You know, here's how I need to approach this in the future if I want to try to sell this stuff to people. You know, you've done them a service. Not only the people who are like you who receive this stuff in the mail.
Is this something that has merit at all?
Sure, you bet. Because you're on the receiving end, uh-huh. of something, and this is your response to it.
Yeah.
And we make that a nice op-ed piece for it. Op-ed piece for a daily newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, next.
Okay. I've been involved for about 10 years in facilitating reunions of adoptees and birth parents.
Oh, really?
Gobs of stories floating in my head.
Yeah.
But in trying to narrow it down, I'm thinking with the recent Jessica case and the Mays in Florida and all this, I would like to write something, being an adoptive parent and having facilitated the reunion of our kids when they're only 14 and 16, I would like to write something to adoptive parents about don't be afraid and how to overcome fears and what really happens.
Yeah.
And not what you're afraid of, but what really happens and, mm-hmm. and this sort of thing.
Okay.
But the target, I don't know.
Yeah.
I saw him at CLPI the other day. They have a column called "Not going to get any money out of it," but it's a way of speaking out.
Okay. But there are magazines like Parents Magazine. You know, you see that on the supermarket magazine racks, and there are other magazines pitched specifically to parents that might be really attractive to. You know, an article like that. Again, in this case, you're kind of an expert on it yourself. So you're writing out of not only your own experience, but you know, since you do this for other people, that makes you a kind of an expert about it, you know. But at the same time, it might be good to get a couple of quotes from people who are, maybe nationally recognized authorities on the topic, just to kind of, you know, bolster your article a little bit. But there's been a lot written about that whole thing of adopted people trying to get in touch with their, you know, their birth parents and so on. So it'd be important to come up with a unique angle on that, and it sounds like you've done that. So it sounds good to me. Anybody else, please feel free to jump in here. Okay, next.
Well, I guess the first thing that jumped into my head was to write about a state park in our area that on a short 7 mile hike, you can see about a dozen waterfalls and follow along through a forested, very eroded area. Uh-huh. And, just a beautiful area.
Is it well known in the area where you live, or?
Somewhat. Not really well, I don't think.
Okay, well, in that case,
it's not far away anyway.
Okay. Do you have a specific location in mind?
Oh, I don't know. If it was a short article, maybe something like even Sunset, but there are other travel magazines or there's a magazine called Oregon too.
Mm-hmm. If it's in Oregon, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. You'd have to decide if you were going to write it from a first person point of view or just put it in the third person and describe the whole thing. And ordinarily, editors are more interested in personal experience pieces like that, saying, this is what I found, and here's how I discovered this, and here's how, you know, here's what I, how, why I would recommend it to other people. Okay.
We hike the route every New Year's Day, have 20-some-odd years.
Well, there you go. See, I mean, talk about how this has become kind of a ritual for you, you know, and even point out, why not publish this around New Year's, you know, between Christmas and New Year? For people, because they might find it to be a worthwhile thing to do themselves. Okay. All right. Yes.
I probably misconstrued. I think I did. But what I did was to take the notion of writing an article about Bill Clinton's vacation.
Okay.
So I was just trying to think. You know, and let's assume. I know the New Yorker magazine. Sometimes they have little vignette pieces.
Right.
As I got started, here's a man who's described as exhausted after his first 7 months.
Uh-huh.
And has very mixed reviews, so the question, if I were doing an interview, again, this is obviously highly speculative, but how do you recharge your batteries, get centered, refocus your vision?
Okay.
And again, I suppose it depends on how, if you were talking to a person, how open they really would be, but how do you deal with what seems to be, from many people's point of view, a central personality defect, namely shooting for the moon, so to speak, and then having to compromise. So, mm-hmm. You know, where do you see yourself in relation to that? And then I guess, as a kind of a theme, what I was thinking was the disconnecting on the one hand and then refocusing, and then kind of, you know, maybe the real Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you had a chance to spend some time with somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, because that seems to be one of the questions that people have about, do we really know him? I mean, that was a question in the campaigns.
Okay. You know, and to, again, the likelihood of you're actually getting at Bill Clinton is not great.
Sure.
But why not take it to somebody, you know, like the governor of your state, mm-hmm. you know, or even a state senator or representative, and say, look, you know, here's what happened to Clinton and how the suicide of his friend has made him reevaluate his priorities and he's going to take more vacation time and so on. Have you thought about that? You know, local representative,
right.
And do the same thing with that person, and it would have a local appeal in terms of local newspapers or state level magazines or whatever. So just because you can't see the president doesn't mean it's not a good idea to apply to somebody else.
And if you played golf with a white only club or got another $300 haircut, you could show up to the
quarterly one. There you go.
Question for you.
Yes.
Do local newspapers, daily newspapers, they don't pay anything?
Some do, it just depends. I've done a little bit of writing for my local newspaper, but I finally kind of got away from it because it didn't pay that well. And I'm trying to make a living at it. You know, if you're just doing it on the side, then maybe the pay is not that crucial. And it's great because you develop some publishing credits for yourself. And there are people who actually, you know, work at this, and after a while they're asked to write a regular column. You know, if what they're doing is of enough interest to the readers of that particular newspaper. So, yeah, okay.
Okay, I will preface my topic from the standpoint that I am a home economist.
Okay.
And I also have teaching credentials, and I have and am still involved with a pilot program of the Washington State University Extension King County Cooperative. And my own experience, particularly in volunteering back at the Northern Tier Children's Home in Harrison, Pennsylvania, came across many, many teenagers with multi-emotional problems. And I offered sewing instruction there. And none of the times were longer than 2 weeks. But you'd be amazed at what came out. The ones that wanted to participate and what happened and how sewing was a wonderful therapy. And also out in Washington now, Seattle area, the involvement in the teen support program. And again, some of these girls and boys in prison situations and how going in as a volunteer and teaching them sewing, how you can give therapy in a wonderful way. And so I thought maybe guideposts, maybe parents' magazines would be interested in an interview, and the success that comes out when you have someone who is indeed very, very interested in the rehabilitation of this wasted youth, and they are throwaways so much, and then to see that they spark and are ready to go on to something more that will be beneficial in making them productive persons.
What about sewing magazines?
That too would be a possibility, like so and so.
Yeah. And what you do is flip through here and find the one that pays the most.
First, you know,
and send it to them first, and then you start working your way down.
And would she be free to use this same article to sell it to use to all these sources?
You bet. As long as they know it's been sent elsewhere or used elsewhere. You know, you can send it like it's been published in a sewing magazine. You could take it to a parent's magazine or a newspaper and say it was previously published or it's already been accepted for publication in this other place, but we thought maybe you'd like to use it too.
Well, the Northern Tier Children's Home was a or is a Christian-oriented place, and actually. The children who are there are all wards of the state, but because everything else has failed, the social workers have kind of turned their back. Well, something they do there works, and one could really teach scripture along
it.
And two of these girls it just gives me gooseflesh even now to have witnessed the change in 2 weeks' time.
There's a real focus point for you. See, maybe focus on one or two of the girls that went through this program and talk about them as kind of examples rather than try to talk about them all or the whole program. You know, and say, here's what their experience was, and then say, well, and this happened to a lot of kids. I was just looking in here while you were doing your work there. And the Lutheran magazine pays between $400 and $1,000 for an article.
Really?
I mean, this is not peanuts.
To what?
Between $400 and $1,000. See, that's what it says
I'd
right here.
I'd be willing to write for free, really.
Well, don't tell me that. It says, where was that right here? $400 to $1,000 for assigned articles. That is, if you write them a query letter first and get the assignment from them and then do it, then you're in this category. $50 to $400 for unsolicited articles.
$50.
So you just write it and send it to them cold, then you're in the lower pay bracket. That's another reason for writing query letters, because that happens a lot. Yes.
I think they give a small stipend for the light side, too, on that.
I'm sure they do,
magazine. You know, about comedy.
Right.
Kind of things, arts and management.
Okay.
Small stipend.
All right.
Mine would be to any of the Guardian magazines in the country. I probably wouldn't start nationally. I'd probably only work in a state of horticultural publications, first of all, with some type of I like to sell a series.
Okay, you can propose a series?
A series relating to the home gardener mm-hmm. and what a home gardener might enjoy knowing about a series of perennial plants
okay.
they can plant. So that okay. I'm just trying to think of an angle for that, not just a, here's a chrysanthemum, uh-huh. But what might people enjoy knowing about that is the experience, the growth, the, working with that plant
okay.
and from the home gardener standpoint, yeah. not a horticultural yeah. standpoint.
In all cases, but in this case especially, it's really important to look through the last year or two's issues, if you can, yeah. and see what they've already published recently.
Yeah.
Because if somebody's already done it, then
yep.
you might as well not waste your time.
Yep.
But usually, if it hasn't happened in the last 2 or 3 years at the most, you can even redo an old idea. You know, go back 10 years ago and see what they were publishing at the library or whatever, and redo the idea, bring it up, refresh it,
mm-hmm.
and propose it to them again. And they probably forgot all about it. You know, there's a whole new editor since then.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I went local, I was thinking about an article for the Accent or the Holden newsletter.
Okay, great.
Over the last couple of weeks, there's been some discussion and controversy about the Solidarity Hunger Awareness Meal.
Okay.
And I was thinking about trying to put some of that on paper.
Okay, just about the controversy that's gone on around the topic? Okay. Okay. Would you have your own opinion about it too, that you'd want to
yeah.
maybe end with, or?
Yeah, maybe include my opinion and some other opinions from people I've talked to.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think Carolyn would probably be real happy to hear about that. I got the impression she's very open to article ideas. All right, and not only a local magazine like this, but it's possible that a magazine like the Lutheran would be interested. And knowing what's going on, here's this Lutheran camp up in the mountains, and because it's not just an issue here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the issue that idea is dealing with, that the meal idea is dealing with, it's a much bigger issue than that. And here's one place where that you've been trying to deal with it in some way, and here's what's happened. Here's the controversy that's developed. So it's, don't underestimate the idea of being just confined to Holden. I mean, if you want to make a few bucks. That's what it all comes down to, making a few bucks. as far as ready for publication is concerned. Yes, okay, thanks.
Environment, Native American point of view, respecting Mother Earth. We as Native Americans are some of the true caretakers of Mother Earth, and we want to help you understand how to take care of her.
Okay.
Can be written for outdoor sport magazines, hike magazines, sports outdoor kind of magazines, or religious publications.
Okay.
Start with Native American history, Native American spirituality, tell of reasons of conservation.
Mm-hmm.
Lifestyles, where to recycle, how to cut waste, how to use, how to get back to nature, processes, efficiencies, and working together.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a whole book.
Well, you could write a book about it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're interested, I'm sure there are religious publishers that would be interested in an idea like that as well. Book publishers. It sounds basic from reading the description in here. There are what, 4 different Lutheran magazines listed in here? 3 or 4. But any religious magazine, I'm sure would go for something like that. I write on a fairly regular basis for a national level weekly Catholic newspaper called the National Catholic Reporter. It's based in Kansas City. And I know they go for a 600 to 800 word article about that.
I did an article before. That's why I was wondering what area you did work with, because I did write an article for, it must have been, I think, a local publication for the Catholic
okay.
Sisterhood kind of thing for Earth Day.
Oh, okay.
Kind of.
Yeah, see, you might look at that.
More of a generic kind of reflection.
Okay. You might look at that and, recycle stuff you've already done. change a little bit about it here, a little bit about it there, maybe so it's going to fit this particular publication and send it to them.
Yeah, it's going to address them as a whatever background.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. All right, any questions that have, right, we got everybody, right? That have occurred to you as we went through this process here?
Yeah, one about length of articles, query letters. Does that publication talk about length?
It does.
Length?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the Lutheran says, length 300 to 2,000 words. So there's a pretty broad spectrum for the Lutheran. But obviously, for the shorter ones, they're going to pay less.
For a 300-word article, would you still query on?
Oh, yeah.
Would you still?
Yeah. Well, yeah, not that you wouldn't. Again, it depends, you know, on... you're going to get paid more if you query them first.
But if you're not, if you're not established and you want, I mean, you want an editor to know. I mean, obviously, I read Lutheran pretty regularly, mm-hmm. and there are certain people who recur, and okay. someone will be described as a writer who lives in New Jersey or
right.
something.
Right.
And so clearly, that person, the editor knows her, and she. But if I were to write and say, I mean, if I were to send the article and mm-hmm. he liked it, then I presume. The second time around, maybe, or the third time around,
yeah.
the query letter might be more productive than...
Actually not. It's oh, better, okay. even when you're total unknown, it's even better, really, when you're
okay.
total unknown,
right.
to do a query letter first.
All right.
Because he's going to get the article in the mail, see the title, the name, the byline, say, who's this? You know, and it looks kind of, you know, I don't know if I want to spend all my time on this,
okay.
but a letter is a whole different, it's easier to read a letter,
okay.
and okay. that'd be my... That'd be my advice. That doesn't mean it wouldn't work the other way.
No, no, that's great.
It might, but you might end up spending all that time writing that article
sure.
and then have it just come right back to you again.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Other questions?
Now, are we going to maybe have some time on a query letter?
Tomorrow we're going to focus on nothing but writing a query letter.
Really? Okay.
Okay. And, you might want to save this idea that you came up with today, or between now and tomorrow, come up with another idea if you didn't really like the one you did today,
mm-hmm.
and use it as the basis for working on your query letter tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow, be sure to bring paper, plenty of paper to write on, and pencil or pen. Okay. Before we quit, which we're not totally out of time here yet, the business of coming up with article ideas is one that we can talk about for just almost endlessly. I'm in the position of, because I'm a professional writer and I've been at it for a while, anytime I find myself in a situation like this, or just, you know, somebody's Christmas party or something, invariably people will say, gee, where do you get your ideas? You know, and I can't imagine where a person could have trouble finding ideas. They're everywhere. Okay? And one of the ones that I have, I'm passing this along to you, okay? Trade secret. That I have come up with, that I've just had endless success with, is finding the author, locating a book that's just been written, reasonably, you know, within the last year, let's say. Okay, on an interesting topic, and getting in touch with the author of the book and saying, how about if I do an interview with you about your book? It might just be a straight, what we call Q&A, where I ask the question, and the author of the book gives me an answer. And when I go to write, I use a tape recorder. When I write the article, I simply write out the question that I asked, followed by the tape recorded answer that the person gave me. Over and over, you know, that's the whole article. You've all read articles like this. Okay, a Q&A, you have to clean up their grammar. You know, you have to make the transition from the spoken to the written word when you're typing this up. But editors of magazines are very interested in articles like this. And the top, again, it's as endless as the number of books being published out there. You know, the Lutheran magazine, for example, I'm sure would be interested and interviews with authors who are dealing with topics that are especially timely in the church today, or has written perhaps a controversial book of some sort. Somebody that's done something, you know, in the world of home gardening, and they've written a best-selling book about how to raise giant carrots, or whatever it might be, or how to keep your zucchini from taking over your garden, or whatever it is, maybe some guy's claiming to channeling Black Elk, he's gotten in touch with him in the other world, and he's now going around traveling and being a channel, or whatever, Not only interviewing authors, but writing about books. I do this a lot. Sometimes editors are interested in just having somebody put together a collection of 8 or 10 recently published books and writing an article describing each of those books and saying, here's what it's about, and blah, blah, blah. Often magazines will have an annual book issue where they do nothing but this kind of stuff. Children's magazines will do this. They'll have articles about new children's books. And here's where they, you might as well be doing it as well as somebody else. Okay? Well, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to do this yesterday, but we did run out of time. I'm a nonfiction writer, and that's what we're talking about here. But I want to conclude by reading to you a poem. My favorite poet is somebody that most people have never heard of. His name is Mark Van Doren, and they just happen to have one of his books in the library here. So I want to conclude by reading one of his poems as just sort of a poetic conclusion to things here. If I can find the one I meant to read, we'll be in business. I'm going to have to look in the new deck, so I should have marked it before I came over here. Okay. This is what I like about Van Doren's poetry is that he is so good at identifying details. I learned a lot from him about writing nonfiction by reading his poetry, because he picks up the colorful details that are so appealing to people when you're writing nonfiction. He gets the flavor of the people he's writing about just very concisely. This is a poem entitled Sleep, Grandmother. Sleep, grandmother, sleep. The rocking chair is ready to go, and harness bells are hung in a row as once you heard them in soft snow. Sleep, grandmother, sleep. Your sons are little and silly again. Your daughters are 5 and 7 and 10, and he that is gone was not gone then. Sleep, grandmother, sleep. The sleigh comes out of the winter woods and carries you all in boots and hoods to town for candy and white dress goods. Sleep, grandmother, sleep. The rocking chair is old as the floor, and there he nods at the noisy door for you to be dancing one dance more. Thank you all. I'll see you tomorrow.